96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Everybody likes a snack every now and then, or every night. Desserts continue to be popular after dinner at home or dining out, but we rarely eat healthy snacks or desserts, and that's not good for our waistlines or our overall health. On this Fruity Friday during National Nutrition Month, we're going to find the intersection of desserts, snacks, and health. My guests are Beth Winthrop, Senior Manager and Health and Wellness Architect for Sodexo Universities, and Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Cafe here in Washington, D.C. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. If you have a recipe for a healthy dessert or snack that you would like to share with us, we are all ears and all stomachs, as a matter of fact. We'd like to hear what you're working with when it comes to healthy snacks and desserts. Or if you're struggling to find a healthy snack or dessert, we're here to help you. Beth, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. I'm very happy. Every Friday is Foodie Friday for me, so I love it.
Absolutely. And of course, Faith, always good to see you.
Excellent to be here. Thank you, Harold.
Okay, so before we get into this, Beth, I have two questions for you. First of all, do you cook?
I am a very good cook, I must say.
Good. And what is a health and wellness architect? I mean, I guess we're not talking about steel.
When they thought that title up for me, I don't think they ever saw me even playing with Legos, because I am not an architect. Good cook, yes. Good architect, no. Basically, I work as a national registered dietitian for all the universities that work with Sodexo for their food service for their residents. So that's really my job.
Okay, well that's good. We know that you are building healthy bodies with your cooking. So let's get into this, because first of all, Faith, I've seen your pies and I've seen your cakes. And
you haven't just seen them.
Yeah, that's true. yes, indeed. I've tasted them. So, you know, why would we have Faith here talking about healthy, low sugar, healthy snacks and desserts? But we do, because she does come up with some. But for all of the cooking and baking that you do, Faith, is it difficult to come up with a healthy dessert or a snack?
So it's interesting. I actually started my business because I love sugar. Sugar does not love me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make me feel good. It makes me sluggish, all these things. So about 12 years ago, I started developing recipes that had no processed or refined sugars, because I have a sweet tooth and I wanted to satisfy my sweet tooth in a healthier way. And I know there are others like me out there. So I came up with a whole genre of products, if you will, that are sweetened with pure maple syrup, agave, and honey.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a healthier alternative to satisfy your sweet tooth. If you're trying to produce en masse, it's extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it here and there for yourself, it's a little more expensive, but the health benefits to your body will definitely be worth the additional output of money that you would put.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Now for you, Beth, when it comes to healthy snacks, how would you define a healthy snack or dessert?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with you as a person and what is your schedule. If you get up at 6:30 in the morning and have breakfast at 6:45 and you're not home having dinner until 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, you really need some snacks in there, because you shouldn't be going more than 4 or 5 hours at the most without a little something to eat. And then also, when I look at what you as a person eat, let's see maybe what you're not getting quite enough of. So maybe you don't have a lot of fruit that is actually in your meal, or maybe you really don't drink a glass of milk, but maybe for a snack you might have a baked apple stuffed with caramelized or crystallized ginger and walnuts and maybe a little bit of that delicious pure maple syrup, and maybe you have a glass of milk with that. So that's a really healthy snack for you because you need it in between your meals because they're too far away, and also you're not getting enough fruit, maybe you're not getting enough milk, and you can fill in that gap. So that's a super healthy snack for, you know, for you as an individual. And it really does depend. As people increase the number of snacks that they have during the day, the size of each meal needs to really come down. Because when people say small, frequent meals, the small part is what gets lost pretty often.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would agree with that because a lot of times those snacks are like meals, almost. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Foodie Friday during National Nutrition Month, and we're talking about healthy desserts and snacks. Do you have any suggestions? Do you provide healthy snacks or desserts for yourself or for your family? If you have anything you want to share with us, give us a call. So here's my question, Beth. How would you define craving? Because I think a lot of people crave a snack, whether it's in the middle of the day or, you know, that after dinner, before bed craving. What causes that? Is that mental? Is that your stomach calling on you? What's going on?
Well, there's a couple things going on when you're really craving something, and I think that's a good time to kind of take a look at yourself, and are you really hungry? If you just ate a good meal an hour ago, you're not really hungry. Maybe you're thirsty. Try a glass of water. Try a cup of tea. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you should just go take a little walk around the block, or maybe your sweet tooth is just kicking in and there's nothing you can do about it. So one thing that I recommend that actually works for a lot of people is what I call a sweet tooth quench. And that is take a little teaspoonful of pure honey, and believe it or not, it actually works better if honey isn't your favorite thing, and just eat it. And it's so sweet that your sweet tooth is like, okay, I give up. That's all I needed. Rather than, have something like sit down and eat that whole pint of ice cream right out of the carton.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that, Faith. I'm saying that you do, but
I have before.
Yeah, referring to the whole cravings thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really interesting. We blame ourselves for our cravings. And the reality is we as a nation and really now as a world are addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's in everything we eat. And every packaged food, in ketchup, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it unless you're using, like, you're cooking yourself and you're not using stuff out of a can or a package. So we blame obesity on fellow, you know, individuals, but really it's about the foods that we put into our body. And we think we're full when we've eaten those things, but because of the way those things process through our bodies and they're not whole foods, our stomachs only fill up so much. There's a couple of really great documentaries to check out. One of them is called Fed Up on Netflix, and it really helps you understand the science behind our eating and why we struggle with diabetes, heart disease, and obesity in this mm-hmm. country. I would say as far as a healthy snack is concerned, nuts are fantastic. Fruit always, but you shouldn't eat fruit with protein. You should eat fruit separate.
Really?
Why is that? The way that it processes through our bodies.
Now, this is for both of you because, you know, we often hear so many times, you know, the experts will say, yeah, nuts are great. You just go ahead and grab a handful of almonds and you'll be good. Can I say, wah, 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 wah? I mean, Almonds, how boring is that?
Well, they can be, but it's something that helps your body. It is a healthier snack. It is going to, you know, cut some of your other cravings down. It's not, it's going to give you good fats instead of the bad fats, mm-hmm. you know, so there are all of those things, you know, that after dinner snack that you're looking for, you know, take some Granny Smith apples with a little bit of agave, put it in a frying pan with some cinnamon. Like, you're going to get, like, all the decadency of, you know, what is a great dessert without all of the negative sugar effects. You know, use a little bit of agave instead of a ton of sugar,
mm-hmm.
you know, or pure maple syrup. If you really want something creamy, you can use heavy cream with pure maple syrup. That's
okay.
a great thing for, like, a whipped cream and make it yourself. So there are all kinds of things that you can do that won't give you the additional sugar, but will satisfy that sweet tooth.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about healthy snacks and desserts. What can you eat that is not bad for you and it will still satisfy your craving for a dessert or a snack during any part of the day? Give us a call if you have something, if you have an idea, if you have a recipe or something that you were doing as well. So Beth, from your perspective, outside of the almonds, and I know they're healthy and they're wonderful, they're just so boring. Do you have anything exciting beyond the whole almond bit that someone can still eat quickly and for a snack, for example, and it'll still be healthy?
Absolutely. And there are a lot of whole foods that are actually being made more convenient for us. So one of the things I really like is you can get a whole sweet potato that's got just a little bit of plastic wrap around it that helps it microwave for you a lot faster. That's a really nice afternoon snack. Kids come home at the end of the school day. You got to get them through until supper time, or hopefully give them something quick and let them kick them out the door and let them play outside now that it's not pitch dark
mm-hmm.
at the school. So that's a great example. To put a potato in the microwave, stick a few holes in it first so it doesn't explode. If it's a white potato, take frozen broccoli and cheese sauce and just throw it on there. It's a processed food, but it's a pretty good one. Or take a sweet potato and put some maple syrup and some toasted walnuts in there and have that for a snack. You can also look at something as somewhat boring as cottage cheese, but if you get cottage cheese with the chives and the toasted scallions and onions in there and put it on some whole grain crackers, that's a really delicious snack. Another one that we've all probably had as kids, but maybe not for a while, peanut butter and celery.
I knew it was coming, the old peanut butter and celery.
Well, and if
trick.
I could Have add to that.
Recently?
Yeah, but
so good.
But if I could add to that, almond butter is even better for you than peanut butter because a lot of the peanut butter that we get in grocery stores has additional sugar in
so
it.
So we got to be careful with
so
the sugar.
So you have to be careful with the sugar. So almond butter, I really like cashew butter.
Really?
I love cashew butter, but I love cashews.
Okay.
Carrot sticks with hummus is another great snack. Really, really nice.
Something to think about. And I've got to take a break, but when I come back, I have something to share with you about the sweet potato thing because it's a recipe that I got years ago, and I think it's really, really great. I need to go back to that. Also, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kay calling from Clinton. So, Kay, don't hang up. We're going to grab your phone call in just a bit. And we want to hear from some of our cooks, our chefs, our home chefs. What are you cooking for snacks and desserts that are really, really healthy? I want to hear from you, so give us a call, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Foodie Friday during National Nutrition Month, and we're trying to find the intersection of desserts, Snacks and Health. My guests are Beth Winthrop, Senior Manager and Health and Wellness Architect for Sodexo Universities and Faith Homes, owner of Love and Faith Cafe here in Washington, D.C. Give us a call if you have a healthy idea or recipe for desserts and snacks, or if you're probably even struggling with finding a healthy dessert or snack for you or your family. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kay. Oh, gosh, we lost Kay. Kay, please give us a call back if you can. Dr. Solomon, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My name is Dr. Sullivan. I had to call because milk is for baby cows.
Okay.
I keep hearing the dietitian mentioning milk, but I hope she means plant milk. Milk is for baby cows. Milk is not for us. Even cows don't go back to their mothers once their four stomachs are formed. They eat plants. So there's many, many plant milks now which you can make delicious recipes out of. Almond milk and hemp milk and oat milk and flax milk. And, I mean, all kinds of milk, coconut milk. And there are many recipes that are online. I don't want to go into that. I just wanted to make the point about this milk.
Okay.
Cheese is not something that we need to be eating either, because cheese is one of the culprits, along with milk, for eczema, especially in the African-American community.
But let me stop you right there, Dr. Sullivan.
Sure.
It is real hard for you to get black folks or anybody else off of cheese. Hold on. Let me finish my point. I don't eat it because I don't like it. But if I liked it, I would eat it. And the reality is that from macaroni and cheese to lasagna to Parmesan and everything else, and that's another show. My question to you is, what dessert or snack are you cooking or preparing at home that's healthy?
Well, blueberries for one.
Okay.
Things with blueberries in it, along with something like sucanat or stevia or some other kind of sugar that is not processed, as Faith mentioned.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much.
In my practice, I do get black people off of cheese.
Okay. Yeah. That's what they're telling you. But thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Go right ahead, Faith.
I was just going to say, I have another really good one, which shocked me because I didn't think it'd be good, but kale chips. If you take kale, wash it and dry it, and then spritz it with a little bit of oil and garlic salt and put it under in the oven and bake it, it's like crunchy and it's delicious and it's really satisfying. And kale is so good for you.
Speaking of the whole chip thing, Beth, there are all kinds of chips. I remember many, many years ago, usually you only had two kinds. You had regular potato chips and barbecue, and that was about the size of it. But now you've got all kinds. What do you do if you have that quote unquote addiction to some kind of potato chip? How do you do that healthily?
Well, I think most of us either are sugary snackers or salty, crunchy snackers.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So for the salty, crunchy snackers, I'm going to give you a second. Go turn your oven on to 450, and then you can take almost anything, white potatoes, sweet potatoes, parsnips, purple potatoes, any kind of starchy vegetable, squash, and slice it super thin. Toss it with olive oil and a little bit of salt, maybe a little bit of garlic powder if that's what you like. Put it in the 450 oven and you're going to get a delicious, salty, crunchy, savory snack. My mother said she didn't like parsnips and I gave those to her, parsnip chips. She never knew. She thought they were delicious.
Wow, how about that?
Chips work outstanding as well. Those are great. And I had a fun salty, crunchy snack the other day, too, which was seaweed snacks, which are quite popular with Asian kids. And they are pretty delicious. And they definitely got my salty snack craving to go away.
Seaweed? Really?
Seaweed.
seaweed, sea vegetables, right?
Gosh, I thought only mermaids ate that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. You can't see me. You never know.
There you go. There you go. That's a tall tale. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Keisha, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Keisha. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'd just like to pass on a recipe that I came across this morning. Actually, I kind of put together. It's for banana nut muffins. And what you would like to do is just take your own recipe or take a recipe for banana nut muffins and kind of alter it a little bit. And what I did was I had one extra ripe banana left over, and I added a little additional. What I did was I cut back the ingredients just a little bit, just so I can make a small amount. I added this extra ripe banana. I added a little nutmeg, extra vanilla, and because the recipe calls for brown sugar, I skipped the brown sugar, and I said, well, I'm going to add... I had some extra granola, usually the granola that comes in a bag. I added granola to the mixture. And for my topping, I used the same granola with a little butter. I know we're probably trying to cut back a little bit, but, you know, we still want it to taste a little good. I added granola, butter, and maple syrup. And you bake it on 375 for about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out perfect. And when I tell you perfect, it came out perfect. And for those who are vegan, you can substitute the egg for either a can of soda or flaxseed and oil or some applesauce. And it can be a vegan banana nut muffin. And it's actually perfect. So I would just recommend for those who are still looking for something that's really healthy, it can still be a banana nut muffin. And, at the end, let me tell you this. I sprinkled some cinnamon sugar in the mixture and on top when it came out. And I now call it my cinnamon sugar banana granola muffin. And it is actually perfect.
You know, that sounds, you know, Keisha, thank you so much. That sounds really, really good. Thank you. I really appreciate you giving us
delicious. It's delicious. And I'm telling you, it is delicious. So I would challenge everyone to just try it again. Just use any banana nut muffin recipe. Add nutmeg, add granola, add an extra ripe banana, add cinnamon sugar. Add extra vanilla, and because you're adding the extra granola, you have to add a quarter teaspoon more of baking powder.
Okay.
To give it extra lift.
Okay. Well, listen, Keisha, thank you so much. Drive carefully, and I'll ask my guests what they think about that. So, what are you hearing there, Faith?
Well, I mean, that all sounds great. I would also like to kind of piggyback on that idea. We make a gluten-free muffin, banana nut muffin, at the cafe that we use peanut butter as the base, mixed with a pureed banana. Coconut sugar or honey, either one, a little bit of baking powder and vinegar, and that's all there is. Cinnamon, too, is delicious with banana, and you bake it up, and it makes the most delicious banana nut or just banana muffin that's gluten-free, that has no flour or anything, so really nice and no sugar.
And see, Beth, listening to Keisha's idea, a lot of people who are not used to eating healthy snacks, desserts, muffins, for example, it sounds to me, yeah, she's got a little sugar in it, but not as much as one might have, and it doesn't sound like it would taste like cardboard.
No, it sounds great.
Yeah, it really does. What do you think, Beth?
I think that sounds great. I just have to say, though, that there's a difference between being a good cook and a good baker. So the other ladies on the line are definitely good bakers, but if you're not a super good baker, you might be disappointed if you start playing around with recipes too much. So I have a couple of
great banana ideas for you, because I think there's nothing that compares in sweet deliciousness to a really ripe banana. So many of us are ambitious when we buy bananas and get some that are a little overripe, or maybe I always go look at the markdown produce and see if they have some bananas they think are overripe, because I usually think they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep frozen bananas in the freezer. And there are a couple things you can do. There's a really fun machine called a Yonana that you can actually feed through frozen bananas, and it gives you a frozen dessert just made of frozen bananas. So that's a fun little toy for kids especially. The other thing is frozen bananas make great smoothies. So you can throw frozen bananas and yogurt, maybe some chia seeds that you soaked in a little bit of milk, maybe some mango juice into the blender. And again, if you do have that chia or flax, that'll help give you a nice feeling of fullness for a little bit longer. But frozen ripe bananas make a beautiful base for smoothies, and really, really easy. And that's a great after-school snack if you want to just chug something down and then go outside and hopefully get some nice active play before it's homework time.
You know, I spoke before the break about sweet potatoes, and there's a sweet potato pudding recipe. This is not mine, actually. Mm-hmm. It's something that I picked up from a book many, many years ago. But I call it a sweet potato pudding. This kind of piggybacks on what we talked about earlier, where you have a roasted sweet potato that you do at home. You know, you wrap it up and you roast it until it's soft to the fork all the way through. But then you put it in the refrigerator, and then when it gets cold or what have you, take the skin off when you're ready for it, and you put one of these in your lunch, for those of you that take your lunch to work, and I always recommend that you do. But before you do, you whip it up with cinnamon and nutmeg and vanilla, and maybe if you must, but you don't have to, maybe literally a dash of maple syrup. And I have something to say about that also. But even if you don't do the maple syrup, because sweet potatoes are already sweet.
Yeah.
And it's like sweet potato pudding. And, you know, between the morning meeting or lunch with your coworkers or what have you, or right before you leave for the day and you have a craving, you have something that has the consistency of a pudding. It has natural sweetness like a sweet potato. It's got the cinnamon and the nutmeg, and it's really, really good. And it's not expensive. But the other thing is that we've spoken a lot about maple syrup. I would say all maple syrups are not created equally.
No, you really have to make sure that you use pure maple syrup, because if you go to the grocery store aisle and look for maple syrup and it doesn't say pure maple syrup, it's mixed with corn syrup or it's mixed with something else. So you have to be careful. Those syrups are not good for you at all. You do not want corn syrup in your diet if you can help it.
And Beth, when you read the ingredients between a glass bottle of pure maple syrup, which, you know, obviously would probably cost more, in between your Mrs. Butterworth or, you know, Vermont Maid or something like that, you can actually see the nutritional difference between the two.
Yeah, well, maple syrup gets its calories from sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to, you know, it's definitely better for you than corn syrup. There's no doubt about that. But it's still a sweet product, and it's still something that's good to try to use. I mean, I think it's nice to try to appreciate the natural sweetness in fruit and dried apricots in a sweet potato, and maybe just add a little bit. But if you're only going to add a teaspoon of that real maple syrup, then it doesn't sound like such a bad buy if you're using it with a very, very light hand. So I guess I look at it like I'd rather have, you know, a small bottle of real maple syrup than a gigantic bottle of that pancake syrup that that's not so good. I had another quick idea for sweet potatoes, too.
Well, hold that thought,
okay,
because I do want to hear all of it, but I've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Foodie Friday, Healthy Snack, National Nutrition Month. And we're talking about the intersection of desserts, snacks, and health. So before the break, Beth was going to share with us her sweet potato, her healthy sweet potato recipe. Now, is this Is this dessert or is it a snack or both, Beth?
Well, it might be both. And I bet many of your listeners have a really good sweet potato pie recipe or a pumpkin pie recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it only comes out at Thanksgiving. So one thing you can do is that's probably the healthiest of the pies that you would make. And it's basically just a custard, milk, eggs, some sugar, or you can substitute one of the other sweeteners we've been talking about with sweet potato or with pumpkin. But instead of pouring it into a crust, you can actually pour it into a little custard cup that probably only holds about 3 ounces.
Yep.
And bake those in the oven. You can put some water around the bottom so that they stay like a nice creamy custard and throw those in the refrigerator. And that's a great snack or a dessert. It's very nutritious, tons of vitamin A to help us see in the dark, as my dad used to say. And you don't have the fat and the salt that come in that pie crust.
I like that. Yeah, that sounds really, really good. Before we talk about some of the other things you can eat, let's briefly talk about some of the things you should not eat. And I'm going to go with faith because, you know, faith. See, Beth, Faith is a really, really fantastic baker, cook. And a lot of her stuff is decadent, which is why you only should eat a little bit of it.
Special occasion.
Yeah, it really is. And yet she continues to bring the staff here stuff that we shouldn't eat. But with that said, all jokes aside, if you're really trying to pull back, Faith, what should you really stay away from? If you're trying to go cold turkey and stay healthy, I mean, you got your ice cream, chocolate cake, apple pies, and the like, but what else should we really be careful about?
I mean, unfortunately, sugar is addictive. You know, it's like I watched a documentary recently called Sugar Coated that talked about where we're at right now with sugar in this country is where the tobacco industry was back in the 1970s. Like, we are going to find out 20, 30 years from now that sugar is the culprit that's killing all of us, basically, because we consume too much of it. If we consumed small amounts, it wouldn't be a problem. But we consume, like, 10 times the daily recommended amount, and just what the American diet says is a nutritional diet. So we have to turn more towards, I mean, I own a shop that specializes in making homemade ice cream using liquid nitrogen and pies and ice cream and candies and desserts. And I've tried to go, okay, but how can I do some recipes that are naturally sweetened? So like one of the options that we have now is a vegan option for ice cream that we make with almond milk, cashew milk that we make in-house, and coconut sugar. So it's a really nice, there's no dairy, but when you taste it, it tastes so creamy and delicious, and it's something that's really, really wonderful. And it's, you know, vegans love it. I brought you a smoothie yesterday.
I was going to ask about that. Please share that, because the thing that really popped in that smoothie yesterday was the ginger, and I like ginger. What was in that smoothie?
So we do something that is a juice smoothie that we juice fresh Granny Smith apples, and then we put in frozen pineapple, mango, kale, mint, cilantro, and ginger in that particular one that you got. And the Love Juice is our number one selling item at the cafe at Love and Faith.
You call that Love Juice.
Yep.
Do mermaids like Love Juice, Beth?
That's a great title, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I think ginger is great. I mean, crystallized ginger, I think, is one of the best little tiny sweet treats because it's so bold and hot in your mouth that it does kind of feed that sweet tooth enough. It's like, oh, you can't eat a cup full of crystallized ginger, that's for sure.
No, you couldn't. But Beth, have you ever found any crystallized sugar that isn't crystallized with sugar?
Crystallized ginger?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Have I? I don't know.
I haven't seen
it. I have to
it.
Look. We could make it, though.
We could.
I could even manage that. That wouldn't be too hard.
Yep. Agreed.
Well, one of the things, you know, Beth, Faith just talked about kind of this ice cream substitute that really, really sounds great. Is there any such thing as a cake substitute, for example?
I have a great cake recipe called Chunky Apple Snack Cake, and it's made with whole grain flour, very little sweetener, and lots and lots and lots of apples and nuts and dried cranberries. So it's kind of just enough dough to keep it together, and most of it is really apples.
Mm.
That's a nice thing for kids. It's funny because unlike regular cakes, it's kind of good when it's a day or two old, so it doesn't really get stale because it's nice and moist. That's actually delicious to put fresh ginger in as well. So definitely there's a few little cakes. And then our old-fashioned friend, angel food cake, there's no butter or anything in that, and it tastes delicious if you kind of take some raspberries and smash them a little bit, or maybe frozen raspberries mixed with fresh raspberries, throw them on a piece of angel cake, and that's delicious and definitely light.
Yeah, but if you make it, I'm sure you really don't have to cut back on the sugar. I mean, I love angel food cake, but it's sweet.
Really sweet.
It's very sweet, but I definitely do love it. Your thoughts, Beth, about some don'ts when it comes to desserts and snacks?
Well, I'm going to say this. There's two things that I would urge people to stay away from. One would be things that I would call ultra-processed. Yeah. So those are foods like take macaroni and cheese microwavable in a cup. Like, how lazy do you have to be to not be able to make a package of Kraft macaroni and cheese mix, honestly? So that is too easy. That is ultra-processed. And when you get foods like that, not only is the sugar jacked up, but also the salt. And we have a big salt problem in this country as well, a big problem with our blood pressures. The other thing I would say is never eat anything out of a carton, out of a bag, or out of a box. Don't eat it in front of the TV. Mm. Sit at the table in a chair and eat off a plate with a fork or a spoon. Use utensils and have those nice manners that your grandmother taught you. And that is a really good way to eat, not just going through and starting a bag of potato chips, watching the game, and oh my gosh, you just got to the end of that bag and you don't even really know what happened.
In that documentary that I mentioned earlier, Beth, Fed Up, they talked about they gave kids, snacks sitting like those goldfish snacks,
mm-hmm.
and they ate 40% to 60% more of the snack when they were sitting in front of the television than when, just doing whatever, or whether doing homework or out playing or whatever. So what you're saying is so key and so vital.
And I think, in that particular case, if you're sitting there and you've got the carton right in front of you, the movement from fingertip to crackers to mouth, it's almost automatic. It's like that. That bird that's on a bar that keeps dipping into the little bird, it just keeps going and going and going. And I would imagine that if the box were as big as a gallon jug, you would keep eating until it was empty.
Almost.
Because it's almost natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you try to finish it, without thinking about it. But see, with that said, what about crackers? I mean, people like crackers. I know Dr. Sullivan said no cheese, but
so much sugar in crackers, though.
So, is there a cracker that you can eat that won't just suck all the moisture out of your body through your mouth when you put it in there?
Well, there's definitely some whole grain crackers, and again, our old friend Graham crackers are a whole grain cracker. And they have a nice mild sweetness that, again, lets you appreciate natural sweetness because there's not a ton of sugar in graham crackers, and kids like them. Goldfish crackers are not all that bad. They do have whole grain varieties. And there's also some nice sort of seedy crackers that are also whole grain. I actually like the little rice crackers, the Asian rice crackers that a lot of people who are on gluten-free diets eat.
Okay.
And pretzels are also a nice substitute if you're looking for something sort of crunchy and salty.
And they're doing gluten-free pretzels now, too.
I've also heard of, and we're really short on time, but I do want your reaction to this because I know a lot of folks like to have cereal before bed. And I'm not talking about, you know, wheat checks, right checks or something. I'm talking about, you know, your Lucky Charms, Captain Crunch, that kind of thing. I'm asking good or bad, but I see Faith is already saying no. How bad is that?
Let me jump in with just a comment about kids in particular. Sometimes kids, we have difficulty getting enough fiber into them. Mm-hmm. And there are some pretty high fiber cereals, like Fiber One is an example. That's a crunchy, nice little treat, but it has a ton of fiber. So if we have kids and we are, you know, thinking about their bellies, needing to get more fiber into them, I think that is not a bad snack.
I was talking about 40-year-old kids.
Yeah. Let's turn those lights off. Let's have the kitchen closed down around 7:30 at night and have a nice glass of water. Wake up hungry for a big breakfast, because if we're not hungry for breakfast, we're snacking too late at night.
I think that's a really good way to end this conversation. Beth Winthrop, thank you so very, very much. And we certainly would appreciate any pictures for National Geographic of those mermaids. Beth, you know, thank you so much. I really appreciate your expertise. Also, Faith Holmes, always, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 23rd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iron Waller, and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton, and please do not forget our special coverage on WHUR starting tomorrow, March for Our Life. That starts around noon. Our own Taylor Thomas will be providing that coverage. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful weekend.